Let There Be Light. From Flashbangs and Frag Grenades. By Calchexis. Read by Sam Gabriel. Based on League of Legends by Riot Games. Chapter 47. Crescendo. The world was a storm, and it was howling her name in the voices of millions crying out for reprieve. It was so much, maybe too much. It was all-consuming, and yet her mind expanded with each plea and prayer to encompass it the way a growing maelstrom consumed the breeze. Seraphine could hear all of them, and yet there was one voice that cried out louder than any, and it was the golden scream coming from the creature in front of her. She was an angel of wrath, in sunlight clad, whose armor shone with the forge-fresh brilliance of new fire. Her once brown hair whipped in the gale as a streaming pennant of pure white, and her eyes burned like coins aflame as four great wings sprouted from her back, holding her aloft on the ethereal wind. Kale, the protector of Demacia, straightened out and pointed her blade at Seraphine's heart.
Janahrim, stand aside, cousin. Your city has fallen too deeply into corruption. I cannot offer salvation. But allow me to burn out the infection, and you may coddle whatever is left over.
Can't you hear her?
Seraphine asked softly.
Hear who?
Kale raised an eyebrow.
Your host.
Seraphine clenched her jaw as the sound coming from the aspect in front of her pitched higher.
She's screaming.
Kale scoffed.
She called me down into her heart with a fervent wish. She is the offering burnt in the old ways. Do not dishonor her sacrifice with something so low as pity.
All around them the wind roared, and it still wasn't enough to drown out the screams of agony coming from the soul captured with the cage of divine flames that made up Kale's immortal essence. There was no amount of holy rains that could put those fires out, for they were as endless as the aspect of Justice Mihira and her daughter Kale, who embodied that flame.
I ask you again.
Kale gestured away with her blade.
Step aside.
You know I won't do that,
Seraphine replied. There was a faint twitch of Kale's lips, pulling a smile at the edge of her mouth, followed by the smallest, most mirthless chuckle.
I know, she said. But I had to offer, so don't complain too loudly when I kill this latest host of yours.
Seraphine narrowed her eyes as she drew in a deep breath, and the wind and rain caught around her in a spiraling veil of elemental fury.
You,
she said through her teeth,
can certainly try.
The flap of mighty wings and a clap of thunder were her only warnings before Kale's blade crashed against the wall of wind and sorcery that sheathed Seraphine's body. Starburnt steel met torrential wind and biting rain, and the winds roared louder and louder as the blade's edge glowed hot and hissed viciously while its wielder dug in, grinding it against the winds she was trying to cut. She almost succeeded. Almost. Drawing in the roar of the winds, Seraphine answered with a clarion call of her own, and the gale howled with her as her shield transmuted into a tornado, ripping Kale from the air in a grip as iron-clad as any god's. Piltover heaved around them as Seraphine darted after her, riding the crest of the cyclone she'd summoned. Above them, the sky had turned black with thunderheads, rain fell in sideways sheets with the force of the wind, and the brass spires of the City of Progress trembled at the passage of these gods of the old world. Where Seraphine roared past, windows shattered, and she caught the shards in rogue slipstreams, sheathing them in arcane ice before sending them hurling at Kale. That golden protector bellowed like a living mountain as she tore free of the arms of the storm, bashing aside the shards of glass and ice as she charged Seraphine down on shining wings, burning the wintry air asunder with summer's heat. Seraphine met her charge with another sung gale. and Kale simply cut through the smaller cyclone as if it were a gentle breeze, only for a nice solid wall of pure sound to strike her face like a smith's hammer. Her charge stopped against it, only for Seraphine to shriek a spear-sharp note through her teeth. It struck Kale's center mass, drilled through armor, flesh, and bone, and then back out, blowing a coin-shaped and nearly bloodless hole straight through her. Blood spurted from between Kale's lips as, briefly, the confines of her mortal host gave way to the sheer amount of damage she'd just taken. And then it was gone. The hole was healed, and the golden armor looked as if it had never been so much as scuffed. And Kale broke through, driving her blade forward like a lance aimed directly at Seraphine's chest.
Zephyr!
Seraphine invoked the ancient wind by name, and a shape like a bluebird rushed from her fingertips to crash against Kale's blade. The Angel of Wrath was flash-frozen in midair by the spirit, covered in ice, which sublimated into a blast of superheated mist the instant it touched the searing weapon in the other aspect's hands. Seraphine was about to follow up with another torrent of sound when agony pierced her back and burst out from her chest, in the shape of a glowing celestial blade. Seraphine stared dumbly at the impaling blade, then looked back over her shoulder at the portal that was open behind her, then back at Kale, who was grinning as she curled her free hand into an arthritic claw. She moved that hand as if dragging a great weight, and Seraphine vomited blood as the conjured weapon sliced deeper. The ice around Kale shattered as she tore free of her bonds and surged forward just as Seraphine spat another high note, slicing the blade right where it terminated at her chest. Her voice cut through the conjured metal, shattered the spell, and Seraphine dragged herself off of it with a scream as she spun in place, whipping the storm winds around her and battering Kale out of her charge once more. Holy rain filled her hemorrhaging wound, sealing it as she caught Kale in another slipstream, throttling her wings and spinning her about like a stone caught in a sling before snapping a hand out and sending Demacia's holy angel hurtling through a nearby spire. The metal shrieked as Kale's flame-wrought form seared through wall after wall. Without waiting for her to emerge, Seraphine poured her arcane into the heavens, reached up, gripped the firmament in both hands, and ripped a tornado down from the skies and onto the spire. The great edifice of mortal progress bent and twisted to her will, windows shattered, supporting beams split, and its very foundations were rent asunder as Seraphine tore the spire from its moorings. Thunder and lightning crashed into it as Seraphine vented all of her rage, her pain, and her sorrow into the storm around them. She could feel the dying screams of everything around her. The storm had no more or less mercy than Kale herself. The spire had not been empty, and Seraphine had known it, but she didn't care. She couldn't care. Not yet, and maybe not ever again. Some part of Seraphine Glask died in that moment, consumed by the elemental soul of Janahrem. There was no time nor space to worry about casualties and collateral damage. What other kind of damage could be expected when gods went to war after all? This was why she had restrained herself, why she had carried Janna in her soul all while praying to whatever would listen that she would never, ever have to use that power. There was just so much of it. And it was not meant to be controlled. One could not leash a storm, cage a cyclone, or carry a maelstrom in one's pocket for ease of use. Such a thing was impossible. And for anyone to think otherwise was the height of idiocy, and now all of Piltover was being raised for that folly. Now the tempest was unleashed, and woe be to man. Even in this ruined quarter of Piltover, there were still people trying to eke out lives despite the horrors being wrought all around them, and Seraphine's heart bled. Tears streaked down her face for every death, and with each tear came more hate and more rage, and in the grasp of that helpless rage, she collapsed her pet cyclone around that spire, crushing it like cheap tin before releasing it to the ground. The ruined spire struck the ground like a fallen Methuselah, and it was suddenly so quiet. Seraphine's hands shook, and her heart ached, and her eyes burned with more tears than she could count.
"Why?"
she whispered into the empty air.
"Why did you make me do that? Why can't you all just..."
There were no words. Not for her. There was nothing in her soul but a depthless sorrow. So instead, Seraphine bowed her head, buried her face in her hands, and wept. With a rending shriek of metal on metal, Kale carved her way out of the spire and stumbled into the open air. Three of her wings hung broken, the fourth was missing entirely, as was her left arm, and golden blood dripped from both shorn limbs.
"Please!"
Seraphine and Janna both pleaded.
"Stop this! You're no match for me! Your host isn't even a mage! You have nothing like enough arcane to bring me low!"
Kale spat a goblet of blood along with what looked like a tooth onto the ground, leveled her blade at Seraphine and Janna, and sneered.
"My host is more than sufficient to put you down, cousin. She will endure as I command her to. She is a soldier, and she will die like one!"
Her three broken wings suddenly snapped back to wholeness as Kale surged into the sky, only for Seraphine to scream her back down to the ground. Piltover shook as the tempest surged, and before Kale could even try to rise, Seraphine hit her again, and again, and again, and again. Airbursts crashed into Kale's body over and over, shattering bone, rending flesh, and ruining armor. This was the difference between a natural mage and a mortal woman. No matter how powerful the aspect, they were limited by the frame of their mortal scion, and a mage, quite simply, had fewer limitations. That, and Kale had not been gentle when she had taken that poor girl's body. Seraphine had had months to get used to Janna's presence and attune herself to the winds. Cythria had gotten no time at all.
"Enough!"
An explosion of gold broke through Seraphine's final airburst as a sphere of pure dawnlight erupted around Kale. She rose, a shattered shell of a human being, limbs barely attached and face half crushed, as she raised her one now broken arm to the skies and curled her remaining fingers into a defiant fist. Light rolled out from her in a detonation of force, and thousands of golden blades appeared in the air above them, their tips pointed down with an executioner's finality. Seraphine keened and conjured a dense shell of air around herself just as the blades fell. It wasn't enough. The ones that struck the edges of the shield shattered, but two hit dead center, broke through the outer shell, and impaled her through the chest and gut a piece, ripping her from the skies and nailing her to the ground. A welter of blood spilled from between Seraphine's lips, but the god in her soul refused to allow death to touch her yet. Her eyes lit blue as she swiped a fist across the golden blades, shattering the conjured constructs with her bare hands as she rose back up into the air. The rain sealed her wounds as they had before, but it was slower. Seraphine could feel herself flagging. She had power, yes, but it was not endless, and Janna was not a goddess of war. She could not push Seraphine's mortal form anything like as far as Kale could do to her own unfortunate host. They had to end this. They had to... A deafening sound that was more of a sensation than anything else closed around Seraphine like a fist that dragged her to the ground with punishing force, then squeezed until all she could do was scream. At first, Seraphine thought it was her, that it was Kale, that somehow she had managed to conjure some new spell in spite of the grievous damage she'd taken. Except, through the agony that was searing through her body, she could see her foe, and Kale was faring no better. Her back was arched painfully backward, and it was almost like the divinity was seeping out of her. Her blood, once pure gold, was now mixing with streaks of red, and her pale, starlit hair was going brown at the roots. And all of a sudden, Seraphine was aware that they were not alone. The heavy, merciless tread of Kadra blackguards heralded their approach, each carrying something that looked like a brutalist parody of a mage's staff. And in their midst were two figures. One was the madly smiling psychopath from the Sun Gate, and the other one was her, the steel shadow of Piltover, Camille Ferros.
Steady! Hold them steady!
Camille stepped out onto the ruined street while eight of her blackguards moved in loyal, silent, perfect formation around her, while Ren stood fondly at her side. Each one carried a massive staff, its entire length crafted from the most refined petricite Piltover could yet produce. It was topped with an enormous, gleaming hextech gemstone of very particular craftsmanship, and altogether each staff weighed something in the area of 45 pounds. And anyone else would be struggling to keep it aloft as they were. But these soldiers were better than that. They were progress made manifest. The staves did their work perfectly, turning both hosts' own arcane against themselves, causing it to go haywire inside of their bodies. As a host, every strand of muscle and every fragment of bone was currently suffused with the stuff. And her scientists had theorized that it would generate temporary paralysis. From the way both Seraphine and what was left of Cythria were thrashing and trying and failing to scream, it must have also been extraordinarily painful.
Chains!
Camille barked. And a half dozen Kadramen rushed out and around the blackguards carrying petricite chains and manacles between them and fitted each manacle to one of Seraphine's limbs and a fifth one around her neck.
Whatever length of chain isn't being used, wrap it around the nearest limb,
she ordered as they continued to work.
The more of the substance that is in contact with her body, the weaker she'll be, but do not kill her.
So far, so good. There had been a bit more collateral damage than she had been hoping for, but nothing that couldn't be rebuilt. Her careful cultivation of Cythria's rage had done precisely as she had hoped as well. In the presence of all of the chaos, crime, filth, and horror of Zaun, Kael had been unable to resist descending onto the battlefield. From there, it had only been a matter of time until Janna was forced to answer aspect to aspect. Passing the thrashing young host, Camille crossed the street to stand over Cythria of Cloudfield, who appeared to be drowning in a pool of her own tainted blood. Despite all the damage as she approached, Camille managed to pick out a few broken words as blood bubbled at Cythria's lips. Lowering herself down on her bladed legs, Camille leaned a little closer.
I'm sorry, but I believe you're missing a lung, so you'll have to speak up.
Cythria twitched, grimaced, then hissed out,
Why?
Camille sighed.
The Kingdom of Demacia is a regressive, hide-bound dictatorship dressed up as a gleaming monarchy. It is an idol of war, as you are its warhound, and war is inimical to progress.
Standing up, she adjusted her collar and said,
There's no place for you and your self-destructive Piltover in the coming world, but regardless.
Camille gestured at Ren.
I thank you for your service.
Ren's arm split and flowered out to reveal a pair of matte black blades, its frame so dense with petricite that it looked like carbon. And with a contemptuous flick, she cut Cythria's throat and speared her through the heart. Instantly, the runes worked into the narrow fuller began to glow a fierce blue, as the petricite alloy drank deeply of the aspect's arcane, stealing away the only thing keeping her host from expiring.
I'll be sure to inform your knights that you died a suitably heroic death,
Camille continued.
I'm sure I'll have plenty of volunteers afterwards signing up for enhancement so they might avenge you.
The rage in Kael's, or maybe it was Cythria's, eyes was almost amusing. But it only lasted for a moment before Ren's blades finally pushed her past the critical threshold. and all of the lights went out. The gold blood had tarnished back to red. White hair fell in lank, brown bundles. And another knight of Demacia was dead. A twinge of something that Camille tentatively identified as regret tugged at her, and she could not help but be suddenly quite aware that even the calculating and dedicated woman she had once been before her augments would have balked at what she had just done. She had truly respected Cythria for her dedication, her fervor, and her steadfast sense of righteous justice. It was a shame she had to die. Truly a shame.
"This one worked much better than the old model,"
Bren said brightly as she stood and flicked Cythria's blood from the edge.
"I could practically feel it emptying her out."
"Good," Camille replied, burying those final thoughts and turning away from the corpse.
"This is the meaning of progress, my dove. We devise, we test, we fail, and we revise. And this is how all things should function, because in this way, success is not a matter of chance, but a matter of time."
She walked back towards Seraphine, who had finally gone limp, and Ren fell into lockstep with her. The righteously angry part of her had actually considered taking Kale's power instead of Janna's. The things she could do with that sort of raw might were almost incalculable, but no. That was her anger speaking. That was the old Camille. As satisfying as it might have been, it was not productive. And she had no intention of being a conqueror. Wind and rain were the forces of life itself. They drove trade, grew crops, and in the correct hands. Such power could usher Piltover into an endless golden age of prosperity. A port nation that could control the very wind and storm of the seas around them was all but invincible.
"Careful with her,"
Camille said as the countryman she'd brought with her gathered around Seraphine to lift her up.
"That is the linchpin of everything that comes next."
"You're going to die." Camille frowned at the tiny, whispered words, and she held up a hand. Ren bristled and started to move forward as the countryman froze. But Camille stepped between her and the host and looked down into the weary blue eyes of Seraphine Arctura.
"Color me impressed that you're still conscious,"
Camille said as she pulled out a vial of pale, off-white liquid from her pocket, which she uncorked.
"And I find your prediction to be somewhat lackluster given your situation."
Seraphine shook her head.
"If you take me," she said quietly, "then you and everyone around you are going to die." "Janna's helped us so long as I have those,"
she nodded at the chains.
"And those,"
she nodded at the staves.
"And I assure you I have plenty of spares where they come from where you're going."
Another shake of her pretty head.
"That Janna." "Jinx, then,"
Camille smirked.
"I doubt it."
Another shake.
"No, my wife. Renata Glask, she's going to kill you for touching me,"
Seraphine said darkly.
"But it doesn't have to be like this." "You're in no states to negotiate."
"I'm not negotiating," Seraphine replied. Sighing, Camille gripped her jaw, forced her mouth open, and poured the petricite solution down her gullet. Seraphine thrashed and gurgled miserably, but eventually went slack as the potion did its work, sapping what very little strength she still had left, and leaving her battered body to finally slip into unconsciousness. "Renata Glask?" Camille chuckled. The stupid girl was delusional. Renata Glask was the only person in Piltover or Zaun who was more heartless than she was.
"Move out,"
Camille said.
"We've got a lot of work ahead of us to prepare for the transfer."
And then, finally, everything would be brought to order. The text of this story is available on AO3. Music by Dot Matrix. If you would like me to record a story, voice over a character, get in touch using the contact information available on my website, which is located at samgabrielvo.com. And there you can find other stories that I've read, as well as a link to my Discord server, where I record things live for your enjoyment. And finally, as always, thank you for listening.